Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning. Wednesday, January the 10th, 2024. And whatever will we talk about this morning? 34 degrees and cloudy skies here in the Marion area. We have had an interesting few days, to say the least, here at WGH Talk. Really an interesting, well, I guess you would say interesting 2 days. Starting off Monday, but culminating yesterday with the interview with Marion City Auditor Miranda McGinnis, which was an exclusive. I haven't seen it anywhere else, and I certainly thank Miranda for coming on for that exclusive. And let me tell you, since that interview yesterday, I have heard from so many people, listeners and people in the community, who have listened or heard during the live broadcast yesterday, that interview. And it was something to behold. And we're going to get to that in just a moment here. But I do have to give some thank yous. Want to thank Matt Morgan for coming in yesterday morning and taking some pictures and being there to help out when Miranda came in. Also want to thank Adam Lepp, Adam the computer guy, our webmaster and news director, weatherman, on this station, because he got that interview up in very short order and also did some editing. Not on the interview. We didn't change anything that was said in the interview, but because the interview started late, we just had to take some things out, like Matt and I talking about his cold in the beginning. So I thank Adam for doing all that in very short order yesterday and also getting the interview readily available online for people who might not have heard it live, because we did not advertise it. And I want to thank Miranda, because to be honest with you, if Miranda hadn't shown up, we didn't have much of an interview. And no matter how you fall down on this issue with Miranda, you've got to give her credit for showing up live, being the first one to talk about it, and giving her opinion. That takes a lot of guts. And I give her a lot of credit for that. And she was very candid yesterday, and she used all the names, and she said everything that happened. Now, before we get to the interview, and I do want to talk about that, today I had thought about booking guests, because there are a lot of people who want to talk about this. But I thought, you know what? You're my audience, and I care what you think. And we've been together through this story since really December 11th. Actually, probably October, when the resignation of Miranda was originally called for. So I kind of want to hear from you guys this morning, because we certainly did not get a chance to get into anything yesterday, because the interview went right up to the 10 o'clock hour. So I'm going to start taking phone calls here in a second. But I want to mention something kind of trivial this morning. You know, yesterday I had to come to the studio to do the interview with Miranda, which is fine. And I stopped by McDonald's to get my diet soda. And, of course, they gave me a Dr. Pepper. You know, something is going on over at the McDonald's here in Marion. Last week, I think they gave me a regular Pepsi. And I think that was Friday. And yesterday they gave me a Dr. Pepper. So I think there's some kind of curse going on again. We got it so right for so long. And I even thought they knew me at one point. You know, he's the guy who comes through 5 days a week and gets a large Diet Coke at 7 o'clock in the morning. Well, apparently I'm not number one in their hearts, because now I'm getting Dr. Peppers and regular Pepsis. Cokes, I guess it would be, not Pepsi. So I guess that's the way it goes. But I just had to get that off my chest before we get into this whole Miranda McGinnis thing. All right, well, let's talk about it. It was interesting yesterday. If you heard it, if you missed it, I feel sorry for you, and I hope you go to the website and listen to it, because it was one of the most, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and boy, what do you even say? It was one of the most candid interviews I have ever heard in all the years of doing interviews, because she didn't hold anything back. She didn't evade any question. She didn't try to evade any question. And we learned a lot of things yesterday. A lot of things that I don't even think we suspected. This whole story, for people who might just be tuning in for the first time, this all came about because Miranda McGinnis, the Marion City Auditor, people called for her resignation back in October. Mayor Schertzer and a couple city council members. I spoke to her three times after that. A matter of fact, I spoke to her the morning that her resignation was called for. She said there was no circumstances that she could see under which she would resign. She was with us on election night. She was elected to that position. There was no opposition, but she was elected to that position. That same night, we had Bill Collins on because he was elected mayor of Marion. And people, you don't have to take my word for it. Go back to the election night broadcast and listen. I asked Bill Collins that night about the auditor because it was a big issue on election night. And he said he was not ready to call for her resignation yet. And he wanted to get somebody else in that department to help her and maybe get it all straightened out. Okay, that's where we thought we were on election night. Well, about a month later, December 11th would have been the day, Monday, December the 11th, right before a city council meeting, we learn that Miranda McGinnis has tendered a letter of resignation to be effective January 5th, and everybody was kind of shocked by this, and because she said she was not going to do that. So Miranda did not attend the city council meeting that night on December the 11th and did not attend city council meetings for about a month. And also, it was brought up in that meeting, the December 11th meeting, by City Councilman Ayers Ratliff, that Bill had offered her a job in the transit department. You know, at that point, we didn't know. So, within a couple days, we learned that, yes, she had been offered a job, not to take effect until after the first of the year, but we also learned that in her resignation letter, which I have seen, she said she had accepted a position. So we were all pretty sure that, yeah, that's where she was going. Well, then we got to New Year's Eve. Nobody was really talking about it for a couple weeks. We get to New Year's Eve, and all of a sudden, Mayor Schertzer, in a little contretemps with Bill Collins in a special city council meeting to try to overturn Mayor Schertzer's vetoes, which did not happen, says he wants to know what happened with this deal between the auditor and Bill Collins. And he said he felt the deal was getting shadier and shadier. Now, that's December 31st. We also heard from Ayers Ratliff on December 31st. And he said he had heard Miranda McGinnis had got legal counsel and that the scuttlebutt around was that she had been threatened and bullied by Bill Collins into this position. Okay. Didn't hear anything from anybody. They were invited on the program. Well, last Thursday at 5 o'clock, right before the resignation was set to take place, the next day would have been resignation day, Miranda rescinded her resignation and said she was not leaving. So there you go. And we spoke to Jason Schauber that morning about that, City Councilman Jason Schauber, and he gave his thoughts on what had happened or what he thought had happened. So that all led us to Monday. So we went to Monday, and Miranda was in the meeting Monday, and I believe it was City Councilman Jason Schauber asked her if or why she had rescinded her resignation. Miranda said basically family, she felt that it was in the best interest of her family to stay in that position. And that's pretty much what happened on Monday night. Well, and there was a third vote of no confidence in the auditor, which did pass 8-1. Which really, it's symbolic, but where do we go from there? It really doesn't do anything. unless city council decides to act on it. Okay, well, then we get to yesterday morning. And Miranda comes in, and again, I thank her for coming in. I thank her for accepting the invitation to do that live. And we learned a whole bunch of things. Now, what we learned was, and if you heard, I'm not telling you anything new, was that there was a meeting where they approached her about leaving her position. Because apparently she had no intention to leave her position in early December. But they came to her with the idea, and I'm going to get to they in just a second, that taking a job in the transit department would be good for her. And apparently in these meetings brought up her house, brought up her family, brought up her reputation. And she said she felt, I think she said this in the interview yesterday, that she felt threatened and bullied because it went to that level. It went past her job performance. It went to her family and her reputation and her house. You know, that's what it is. She said it yesterday. So this transit position was offered. Now, here's the important thing that we learned yesterday, because for a long time, we believed that the only people present during this meeting where this is all going down was Bill Collins, Law Director Mark Russell, and we weren't even sure about that, and Miranda McGinnis. Well, come to find out, there were a lot of people in this meeting. Those three people were present, Miranda McGinnis, Law Director Mark Russell, and Bill Collins, but apparently also present at this meeting, City Councilman Jason Schauber, Mayor Scott Schertzer, and a couple members of Miranda's staff, who I guess would be willing to vouch that, yes, all those people were there at that meeting in which she accepted the transit position. Now, here's what's confusing. Mayor Schertzer has been on, I think, three times. It's either three or four times since this all happened. Former Mayor Schertzer, and every time we talked about it, he had said he was not present during that meeting. And I believe what he said, and again, you'd have to go back and listen, but I think what he said was the first time he knew anything is when he had gotten a phone call about it. Well, Miranda said differently yesterday. Also, Jason Schauber, Councilman Schauber, was on Friday. And I believe during that interview said he wanted to know what happened in this meeting. Well, come to find out yesterday, he was in the meeting. We also had wondered why Miranda had not attended city council meetings. She said yesterday Jason Schauber told her not to attend council meetings. We had wondered why Miranda had not talked to the media. We had been friendly with her. She said yesterday Bill Collins told her not to talk to anyone about it. Why would you do that if there was nothing wrong? Then we also learned that Bill Collins paid her a visit last week before her rescission, making sure everything was okay for her move to the transit department. When she said no, I believe she said Bill Collins got red-faced, brought up again her family, her livelihood, her home, her reputation, feeling that she should take this position, and that, again, she felt threatened. She felt bullied. And there we are. So here's why this story is journalism. I don't know if you'd say at its best or at its worst, but when this all happened back on December 11th, nobody really thought much of this meeting. People thought, well, you know, whatever happens, happens. We didn't want her in that position anyway. She's going to go to the transit department. She'll continue to get a check. This is good for the city. But we kept talking about it here because facts do matter. And I'm not saying that we forced. I don't know how you can force anybody, but through continuing to talk about it and continuing to learn things, we now know a lot that we did not know on December 11th. And I think we know a lot now that matters. And I think we know a lot now that really changes the scope of this entire thing. Were crimes committed? I don't know. Some people would say quid pro quo might have happened. Some people said bribery might have happened. Some people would say that threatening a public official, bullying a public official, these should not be things that are going on. And very interestingly, would this have happened to a man? Now, the only reason I asked that yesterday, and Miranda said she didn't feel it would have, was because roughly, Miranda McGinnis and Robert Landon, the former auditor, are pretty much the same age. Robert has a wife. Miranda has a husband. They both have very young kids. And I don't remember anybody ever going to Robert and offering him a job or trying to make a deal with him or talking about his family and his house and his reputation being on the line. I don't recall that. So does it have anything to do with her gender? I don't know. She seemed to feel it did in the question yesterday. And again, I'm not a lie detector. I am not, I don't have subpoena power. All I can tell you is that I did ask her, for somebody who might say she was lying about these things, how do we know you're not lying about these things? Well, apparently her staff members were in these meetings and would be willing to vouch for her if need be. She also said if there was a special counsel created or a special committee in city council created to investigate this with subpoena power, that she would be perfectly happy to go under oath and testify to all these things. So, you know, the ball's in other people's court now. We have invited Bill Collins on. We would like to, maybe his story's a little different. I will invite Jason Schauber on again, but like I say, I do want to give a morning here where we can talk about this, you and I, the listening audience. I'm not even sure if Jason has heard it yet, to be honest. I haven't talked to him. So we'll see how that goes, and maybe at some point we'll talk to Mayor Schertzer again. Although I don't know at this point if the Mayor Schertzer, if bringing him back on would mean all that much, because essentially all she said Mayor Schertzer did was sit in the meeting. He didn't offer her anything. He didn't pressure her in any way. He just happened to be in the meeting. Now, why he said he wasn't in the meeting, that I don't know. But I don't know that that question is really, I don't know that that means a whole lot at this point. Because I don't think she ever said that Mayor Schertzer told her to do anything or said anything to her in any way. He just happened to be present in the meeting when the deal went down. Again, why he didn't say anything, I have no idea about being in that meeting. So there's that. Now, I would have to guess, for everybody who's been following this story, that somebody would have to have a thought on what went on this program yesterday. Now, you don't even have to comment on what Miranda McGinnis said. Just in general, that interview, which went pretty close to 90 minutes yesterday, we did not take a break because we wanted to get it all in. Do you have any thoughts? At 34 minutes past the hour, the phone lines are open. Now that hopefully I've detailed that into great degree, what happened yesterday. And again, thanks to Adam, you can hear that interview on the website, WWGH1071.com. Go under the Scott Spears tab, and I think it's the first interview under there, under the title Miranda McGinnis. Now, our phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Do you have any thoughts on what's going on in the city of Marion at this particular point, following Monday's city council meeting and following everything that went down yesterday in the interview with Miranda McGinnis? I don't think there was any fallout from that interview yesterday down at City Hall, at least none that I'm aware of. And I don't know where it goes from here. I don't know if it will be brought up at the next city council meeting. I don't know. I really don't know. I think the big question right now, to be honest, is where do we go from here? You know, where do we go from here? All right, I think we're getting a call here this morning. Well, maybe we're getting a call. Uh-oh. Are we having a phone issue? Uh-oh. I think we've got the phone back now. Maybe we've got the phone back now. Boy, I hope so. I don't know what happened there. Okay, if you hold on a second. Give me a second here to check the phone issue. All right, the phones are fixed now. If that was you, give me a buzz. I have no idea what happened there. I don't know if that was attributed to the wind last night or what. Phone lines are open. Okay, here we go. Let's take the phone call here this morning. Go ahead, caller.
Scott.
Yes.
How's it going?
Oh, it's an interesting morning.
Ah, very much so. Hey, I wanted to start off today by suggesting that you utilize a Word of the Day segment.
Oh, good.
Either your interviews or just your broadcast in general, and see if people can, like, figure out what the word is. And then you'll reveal it at the end and give the definition. Because you are a wordsmith, Scott.
And oh, dude.
I will suggest from last week, contretemps. I love that word. That's a great word.
People do like contretemps.
Yeah. And then the one with McGinnis, you did scuttlebutt.
Oh, did I say scuttlebutt? I didn't even realize I did.
You did. Both great words, Scott, so I commend you on that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, my vocabulary, if nothing else, my vocabulary is how I'd like to be remembered.
You know, that should be on your tombstone.
He had a contretemps, and that's why he's here now.
We could only be so lucky.
I know,
life, Scott.
I know.
But yeah, so what did you think of the interview?
Well, like I said earlier, for whatever people feel about Miranda McGinnis and her job performance and whatever people feel about what she said yesterday, because I'm pretty sure it made a lot of people unhappy, probably most of them down at City Hall, I think it did her a lot of good with the public, because the public that I heard from was very positive about what she said, and I think that she was very brave to do it and name names and be as candid as she was, because when she left yesterday, she had to go down to that building where most of those people are still working.
Well, that was kind of my impression, was that she comes across, if nothing else, as believable. It is believable what she said. Now, I'm not saying that what she said is the truth, but she comes across as being honest, and her story is believable. And to your point about just throughout this entire process, if people would be honest and would have jumped up on the stage and told the truth and how things went down, then there wouldn't be any, at least, sense of impropriety or wrongdoing. And I think that is, you know, on them. At least she did step up after taking however many weeks of silence. I thought that was a very interesting interview, especially in light of the other interviews that you have had with former Mayor Scott Schertzer and current Councilman Jason Schauber and Ayers Ratliff. Because if you would listen to them, they would act like, you know, you would come to the conclusion that they were kind of blindsided by the alleged closed room deal, right?
Well, it would seem that way because I believe Mayor Schertzer did say that the first he learned about it was, I believe, the day it happened by telephone. And in that city council meeting, the special one on December 31st, he said he wanted to know what went on with that deal. Well, according to Miranda McGinnis, he didn't say anything, but he was in the room.
Yeah. So that, you know, it's kind of a he said, she said situation and finger pointing. But I don't know. It definitely tangles the web, I guess, as they say.
Well,
the other thing that was, you know, she comes across as believable, and I don't know her personally, and most people listening, I'm sure, don't know her personally. You can just go off of the facts that we know that we've lost our bond rating, and we know that there's a cash flow problem. We know that that office has been in disarray, and you can say, well, what is being done about it? And she admitted to you that the auditor's office has been garbage for 4 years. Do you remember that phrase exactly?
I do.
So two of those years were under her watch, correct?
Yeah.
So she's saying that it's garbage, and that was early on in the interview. And then later on in the interview, when she's trying to give justification for why she should stay in the position, she says, well, I've maintained the status quo here lately. Well, by your own admission, the status quo is garbage, right?
If that is exactly what she said, I would have to agree with that.
So is that what you want to hang your hat on? And I mean, if you had concrete, and that's all part, I think, of political savviness or naivete, is, you know, she's basically saying that she was given a gag order by Collins not to talk.
Well, that's very interesting because the point there is, I mean, there's nothing criminal about that, but we had all wondered why that had happened because, I mean, I think I had said on this show, not giving anything on the inside, that I had made contact with her not too long after December 11th, and she had come on three times in the previous 2 months, so I felt we had a good relationship. And then all of a sudden, everything went dead silent for about a month. And I had always wondered why that was. Well, you know, now we know. Bill Collins told her not to talk. And again, it comes back to the point that we've been talking about here for a long time. And a lot of times people call it a speculation on our behalf. And honestly, till yesterday, it was just speculation. But it was, if there's nothing wrong going on, why not talk? Well, we never got an answer from Miranda or Bill until yesterday. Well, we know why people weren't talking now, because she was told not to talk by the person who facilitated, apparently, that deal, as I give air quotes here on the radio.
Right. But I think that goes along with just, and she admitted it, that she is politically unsavvy. She says she's not, wasn't born a politician, and that's one of the things that she struggled with after her appointment. So,
here's my
question: that you would know to say, like, what is the best move here? You know, it's the same thing with having those discussions. They were off the record, so the public is not aware of them. Like, if I were her, I probably would have said, "I'm recording this," or because there had been all that tension prior. So if you know that counsel is, you know, if your argument is like they're after me and it's not legitimate, I think that as a elected official, if, you know, they all come into my office, I'd say, yeah, we can have a chat, but this is outside of the meeting. It's off the record, you know, so I'm going to record it.
You know,
I'm going to take notes.
My impression yesterday was the reason that, and maybe I'm wrong, but that I don't think she suspected that either one of those meetings had anything to do with what eventually happened. I think she thought she was being called down to talk about, and I think she said this, things to do with the auditor's office and to get it back on track, which may be part of that. And I think also there's part of the, she didn't record it, and I don't know what notes she took, but she did bring two members from her from her office who she said would be willing to corroborate everything she said.
Well, that puts them in a weird position. You know, if they're in her office, they report to her, but then if she's removed, then they're probably going to worry, you know, so I don't know. That would be tough, I would think. But that December 4th or 5th meeting was the first discussion, and then what the deal allegedly was offered sometime between the 5th and the 11th, right?
That was my understanding. You know, here's the thing about this. And again, nobody likes trouble, and we all want the city of Marion to run smoothly, and we want these issues to be fixed. But the problem is there's a lot of things about this that are not good. Number one, again, if you have nothing to worry about, nothing to hide, why would you go out of your way to tell somebody else not to talk about it? What's the purpose of that? I mean, we knew she had resigned. We knew that she had accepted another position. It's in her resignation letter. It wasn't like we didn't know these things. Why? And this also tells you where government's headed in Marion, by the way. That's and I'm not saying it never happened before. I'm not saying that at all. But that somebody, and in this case, the incoming mayor, would go to the auditor and say, don't talk to anybody. You know, in the media, to me, that's a problem.
Right.
And also the other bit, and again, these are not criminal matters that went on, but, you know, and it's only what Miranda said yesterday, but it is Jason Schauber who apparently suggested to her, leave the building, don't go to these city council meetings. And everybody acted as if they didn't know why she wasn't coming to these city council meetings.
Well, I can see out of political expediency, you know, because why they would attempt to convince her to step down. Now, like, I think what was it, Ayers Ratliff, you know, so why do we need to move her if she was ineffective at that position, then why would we put her in charge of transit, right? Didn't he make some, I'm paraphrasing, but basically that point.
Yeah, I think there was no experience there, and if she's not good at that job, why would she be good at this one?
Right. So, I mean, and that's a fair statement, because it does, I think, unless she's trying to say that she's not responsible for the current or the fines from the IRS that were incurred during her tenure, if that's her argument, if it's, you know, not being able to report to counsel, if she's saying that she has reported to, I mean, that's very easily verified. You know, so it's a question of competency and the ability to do the job. And to me, if you're saying that, I define it the last 4 years, she herself says that it's been garbage, then I think that you need to do what is best for the city. I mean, if you were appointed to that position and you cannot carry out the duties of the position, then you should step down. Now, if it's not a question of competency and there are other issues going on, then say, like, what have you been trying to do? Like, be concrete about it, and it doesn't look good to, like, basically ride off into the sunset for a period of how many weeks, you know, even if you were, I guess, advised to do so by an incoming mayor. You should be savvy enough, and didn't have comments to say, wait a minute, like, I do have a job to do, and I was elected, and I ran for this new term in office. So even if I'm going to resign, like, I'm going to go to council meetings, I'm going to give it my very best effort until the day that I actually resign.
Now, 2 points, and again, I am not Miranda's press agent, and I can only remember what I remember from yesterday. When it comes to this idea of the office was garbage, I think anybody in the city would have said the office was garbage at the end of Robert Landon's term. I think when she says she's keeping the status quo, fines were already starting to accrue during Robert Landon, and there are things that were done during that time that Miranda McGinnis could not undo if she wanted to, and nobody in the city could undo. So I'm guessing that status quo at this point is we need to find out how to reconcile the years that were never reconciled during Landon's administration. We can't reconcile our years until we know what the reconciliation are in those years. And also, I can't stop these fines because we can't seem to reconcile those books because no records were kept the way they should have been kept. And that's status quo at this point. I can't make it any better until that mess is fully cleaned up. And I don't think anybody in the city, now they can say it's on her watch now, and it absolutely is, but I don't know how you right that ship when, I mean, there have been people who have come in, I believe it's called Veritas Solutions, and tried to sort this matter out at expense to the city, and I don't even think they've done it to a full degree at this point.
Has she made that argument?
Yeah, I think she is. I think that's what she's basically saying when it was a mess. When she
so
came.
It is Robert Landon, and it's just an impossibility to resolve it. So she couldn't do. She could not feasibly resolve it in the 2 years that she's had so far.
I think that's why she's saying I want to see this through to the end, and I would imagine to her the end is fixing it. And she also did run for the first time for the position. So I'm guessing she feels that, you know, maybe in 4 years we can get this back on track. But we've heard from people now, listen, the bond rating is gone, and I don't think that's coming back in a year or two, no matter what they do. And the whole issue with selling off the investments because of these fines, I'm not saying all these fines were accrued under Robert Landon, but a good portion of them were. And also I would say that she... yes, some of these fines are being accrued under her, but if she doesn't have correct books because of things that started 4 years ago, I mean, how do you... You can't make it up.
Has she done her own, like... And I don't know the answer to this, Scott, so you know, I'm asking you if you're aware of it. But when she came into that office originally, did she go through and do her own individual audit, internal audit, and give an action plan to council? Did she say, these are what we have, what my team has identified as the deficiencies in this office, and this is my plan of action to resolve them? Even if they're not able to be resolved immediately, at the flip of a switch, this is what we are going to do. And then is she following up on that action plan? Was that done?
You know, I can't say for sure, but what I certainly can say for sure, and I think council would say this, I think former Mayor Schertzer would say this, is that they felt until October of last year, or maybe late September, that she was doing at least a good enough job to where they didn't have any problems with her, at least publicly, until late September of last year. And I believe they had also said that when she came in, that at least there was open communication. She was meeting with the mayor, which Robert Landon didn't do. Her office door was open. She was responding to council. I think there was at least I think there are interviews where all those people say that things had gotten better, and hopefully she would be the one to fix it. I think it's when more fines started to show up, and also that maybe she was not relaying information to council that they should know. that the wheels started to fall off. Now, again, her job as an auditor, that's going to have to be judged by the citizens of Marion and City Council. And if they want, I mean, the no confidence vote came down 8-1 on Monday. And if they want to try to remove her from office, they certainly can do it. It doesn't sound like she's going to resign. But this does become a multifaceted issue now because of everything we learned yesterday. Because I think you would have to say to yourself, okay, if she's so horrible, if she doesn't know what she's doing, if she's terrible, why were we offering her another position? And there, if you are at your job and your boss doesn't like the job you're doing, and maybe indeed you aren't doing the best job, if they come into your office and they say, listen, we'll give you another job here. It's not going to, I don't think the transit job pays as much as the auditor, but if I'm wrong, somebody will correct me. We'll put you over here, even though you have no experience in that job, but we'll do that because you're bad in this one and we don't want you in this one. But hey, think about your family. Think about your house. Think about your reputation. I mean, is this ethical?
Well, it's practical. It's politically expedient. It may not be the most, you know, above board and ethical thing to do, but if you're saying that, you know, she was going around, I mean, and again, and it's all going to hinge on what is the truth. Is she incompetent? Is her administration at the auditor's office incompetent? Has it done a poor job? That's the question.
Well, here's the question.
If that's the case, then say, and then you have an auditor that says, I will not resign. So they're putting their feet in the ground. Then you say, we need to fix this situation, and we have this person who is incompetent that is standing in the way. So that's going to potentially take months of fighting to get her removed. So in order to avoid that, maybe we get her to resign and go over to this position. So it is politically expedient to do so, to try to avoid that time commitment and all the fighting and press and everything else. So I get why they would try to do it, as long as they did it in an ethical, you know, way, a legal way, and that's another question.
Well, do you believe it was, I mean, from what she said, and again, we're not a lie detector, we don't have subpoena power, do you think that was the ethical way to go about it?
I mean, it just depends on exactly what was stated. And again, when you don't have those parties, you know, several of the people that attended the meetings didn't even admit to being in the meeting or having any awareness. So that doesn't, if it's true that they were there, then that looks bad. Because even though you didn't ask them directly, were you in that meeting, they lied by omission.
Well, when you say, I want to find out what happened in that meeting, and you were in the meeting, I mean,
right.
What's that?
And well, exactly.
And I think Mayor Schertzer did say that he was not, that the first time he had learned about it was through a phone call. And we're going to break it, and maybe you can call in next hour, because this is a big topic and other people as well. But there are two questions off of everything we've just talked about that I want people to think about during the break. Again, if you believe she's the most horrible auditor in the world, that's fine. But here are two things. Jason Schaber has been on the show and talked about how they could remove her and how it could even be less than a month's process. Now, if they thought she was so horrible, if they would have started this December 11th, potentially she could be gone today on December the 10th. They didn't do that. Also, number two, she apparently never brought up the transit job. They did. That's where it becomes... Was that a bribe to get an elected official out of an office? What was that? Why would you do that? So everybody think about those during, because it's called a hard break. Here comes the hard break, and hopefully we'll come back and talk more on the other side of this 10-minute break.
It's a scuttlebutt.
It is.
You're listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?
I'm not, you know, they made Mrs. Garrett